Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Well, I'm glad to be back. I just spent a couple weeks in Kenya with Aaron and Kevin, and we did some ministry down there. And it was really good. We were with this church down there called Manapifa Church there in Rongai, outside of Nairobi. And it was nice, man. And the pastor there is Pastor Allen, and he's a great guy, you know. He just loves his people, and he's funny. And even though he's speaking Swahili, I knew he was telling a joke, because you can just see it in the mannerisms, and everybody would laugh. And then I tell a joke, and it's crickets. I'm like, I think if something gets lost in the translation, because I know I'm funny, so. And this must be the translation. But we go down there, and the first Sunday we're down there, I get to preach. And so I got to admit, man, I was kind of nervous, because I had no idea what their service was going to be like. I'd never heard Pastor Allen preach. I'd never been in their service before. But the consoling factor was, he says, hey, when do you want to get there? And I'm like, I want to get there and worship. Because that's why I sit in the front row here. I just like to, just worship and not be distracted. And so I'm like, I just want to get there and worship. He's like, hey, that's great. So they were an hour and 15 minutes picking us up. And so you can laugh at that, because it was kind of scary funny. And service was supposed to start at 9. We showed up at 10:30. I'm like, okay. And so I walk up with my Bible, and someone meets me at the door. It's like, okay, they're ready for you to preach. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, the song just keeps going until you're ready. So just like head on up there. I'm like, seriously? So I seriously walked into church, walked straight up front, and the guy leans over to me and goes, you got 25 minutes. You got till 11, he says. And I'm looking at my watch like, man, that's crazy. And so I get up there to preach, and I'm wearing almost exactly what I'm wearing today. And everybody's all dressed up. I'm like, dang it, you know. Like, so it's awkward, you know. And so then afterwards, I'm talking to Pastor Allen. I'm like, what's the deal? I'm all up there, short sleeves, tattoos, hanging out, wearing tennis shoes. And everybody's dressed up. I said, why don't you tell me to wear a sport coat or something? He's like, oh, Mzungu will get a lot of grace. Like, come on, Mzungu is like white foreigner. So it's good though. But this is what's funny. This is what's why I even tell the story, is that I've preached in Cambodia, and I've preached in California, and I've preached here and in Kenya, and everywhere it could be the same. You find loving people that they just want to, serve the Lord, and they're welcoming, and they give you a lot of grace. And everywhere you go, somebody's cell phone goes off in the middle of service. I don't care if you're in the Maasai village in the middle of nowhere, somebody's cell phone goes off. It's hilarious. So don't let that be you this morning, amen? Seriously, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I give you thanks for today. Lord God, I give you thanks for this sermon. I pray that I can decrease so you can increase. I pray that your word would speak true, and people would hear the word you have for them this morning. In your holy name, amen. This morning's sermon's called The Anchor for Our Souls. So I'm the associate pastor, Jay Alexander. I'm not the senior pastor. How I make my living is I'm a firefighter as well. So full-time pastor, full-time firefighter. And so people always have questions about firefighting, but I want to tell you something about fire. Fire is 100% completely predictable. Fire it's a chemical reaction. It's physics. It will react the same way and under the same conditions every single time. The problem is you never know what conditions exist where the fire is. So the fire is going to react the same. You just don't know what conditions are around it. And that's the same whether it's a house fire or it's a wildfire. The difference, though, is that we're mostly trained to do house fires, and the wildfire thing, that's just a scary animal altogether, because a house is real easy, right? There's a big box, it's got four walls, all the fire's inside there. It's defined, it's easy. A wildfire, there are no borders. It just can go anywhere it wants. It's like the difference between being a lifeguard at a swimming pool and being a lifeguard at the ocean. It's like a whole different thing. In a swimming pool, you could just look through the water and see everybody looks okay. In the ocean, you're like, oh, waves are bobbing. Where'd they go? They were there once. How do I get to them? It's crazy. So it's a big deal. But when you're doing wildland firefighting, one of the main things you have to do and have to know, pretty much any firefighting is the same way, is you have to have an anchor point where it's safe. An area where there's refuge that you launch off of. Every fire operation has an anchor point where you start and then you work out from there. That way the fire can't get around you. It can't come behind you. It can't flank you because you have connection to a safe spot. Now, when you're fighting a house fire, the hose, the fire hose, comes right from a big red fire engine right through the front door to wherever you're at. So that's your anchor point. You can go right back out that hose into the front yard, and everything's safe and happy out in the front yard. It's chaotic inside. It's safe outside. When you're in a wildfire, there'll be like a big fire break. They create these big fire lines around the fire to try to trap it, and that's your safe spot. So you have to be anchored to a safe and trustworthy place so the fire can't surround you. House fires are the same way. Never lose track of how you get to your safe area. Never lose track of it. If you get off that hose line is pointing out. If you get away from that hose line, you can get disoriented. The world is crazy. It's smoky. It's dangerous. And you get away from that thing, you lose your anchor point. You lose your way out. So we need to not lose our anchor point to our safe refuge. Your spiritual life is the same way. It needs an anchor point too. Something that keeps you firmly connected. When chaos and fire of life tries to surround you, you need a place where your soul can rest easy. Hope is the anchor for our souls. Amen? Let's look in Hebrews chapter 6. That's our verse today. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says this. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 18 says, God has given us his promise and his oath. Now, an oath is a vow or pledge concerning one's future actions. God has made this promise to his children under oath. You know, you go into a courtroom and you have to take an oath to tell the truth. You're saying, this is what I will do in the future. I promise you that I'll do this in the future. And that's what God has given us. Promises in his word about what he will do for his people. He's given us his oath and his promise. Now, he's made many promises in scripture to his people. I pulled out a few for you this morning. Psalms chapter 9, starting in verse 9 and 10. Psalms 9, 9 and 10. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. These are the promises that God's made to us. Are we doing our part of it? Because a lot of times we get really focused on how come God's not delivering me and how come God's not filling me my life the way I want him to, but we're not doing our part of it. We're not seeking him as our shelter and refuge. We're not staying anchored to him. We're depending on our own understanding, thinking we can figure it all out. We don't want to repent of our wicked ways. We want to get disconnected from our safe refuge, and then we want to get mad that we're not protected by God. When we were in Kenya, we went to this Maasai village, and it was a couple hours away. Now, I'm terrible with direction. So Nairobi's right here, And everything we did is like out here somewhere. I never knew what direction we were going. We'd just get in the car, I'm in the back seat, hitting speed bumps, like keeping my head down, because it's scary driving over there. I don't know how they do it, but we didn't see any accidents, but we sure should have. It was crazy. They'll drive anywhere, the shoulder, they'll drive right in oncoming traffic. I'm like, you see the lights coming at us, right? Oh, yeah, they just kind of cut in and out. So we get all the way to this Maasai village, and it was amazing. It was like a whole different world. The people had these like colorful wraps, and they have like the, you think your gauges are big. These people's gauges, their ear gauges were so big that like some of the men I saw had looped them over the top of their ear to kind of keep them out of the way. I would assume they were working and they wanted them snagged on something. So that was kind of interesting. But we get to this village, and first of all, the kids are crazy, and they swarmed us. And I don't think they've ever seen white people, and I don't think they've ever seen tattoos, because they were mobbing us. It was crazy. So I had to, side note, I had to tell my mom. I'm like, see, tattoos are good for ministry, so you can't, like, criticize them anymore. It draws the children unto me. So I think she had to concede that point. So anyways, our mission there is we brought a ton of food up there because the people had just gone through like a really bad drought. I think the drought lasted almost a year. A lot of their cattle died. So if you don't understand the Maasai people, they're like nomadic people and herders. They have a lot of animals. That's their livelihood. Cows, goats, they herd animals. Another interesting point is that Nairobi is kind of in Maasai land. So the Maasai can herd their animals anywhere they want in their land. And so you'll be driving down in the middle of Nairobi and you'll see a herd of cattle like in the median of the freeway. And some dude with a beautiful blanket wrapped around him just herding these cows down the middle of the city. So anyways, and we saw, you know, dead cow carcasses with just nothing but bones and skin. And so it was really rough and bad. So we were bringing a whole bunch of food up there for them. So we came up and we brought a whole bunch of food in, and we're in a church service, and the building was big. There was lots of people there, and everybody's traditionally dressed. It was really amazing to see. And so they wanted us to say a few words. Now, I have to admit, like, I'm never short on words, but by this point, I'm getting a little wore out, you know? Like, I've had a lot of words and a lot of new experiences, so I'm like, what am I going to say? So I just got up there and I just said, hey, you know, I'm really excited to be here, and you know, God's global church, and we're all one together, and if I never see you again in this life, we'll see you again in heaven. And they would love, they're just cheering and stuff like that, you know, for the translation. And we all said something and sat down. And then Pastor Allen gets up and speaks, and this isn't the first time it happened, and he's saying something, I don't know what he's saying. He's saying it in Swahili, and he's talking and stuff like that, and he doesn't talk for very long, and it's like an altar call. And then all of a sudden, like, 8 to 10 women come up and are getting prayed for and like giving their life to Jesus in some village in the middle of nowhere in Kenya. And I'm like, this is blowing my mind. This is like the third time he's done that, like out in the community, and people are coming up and getting saved. And I'm just like, what on earth are you saying? Because we do altar calls all the time, and crickets, no one comes up. Like, did you hear what I just said? Jesus, like, laid his life down for you, like, eternal life. And everybody's like, Seahawks are going to play later. It's preseason. And people are just coming up. And you know what he said to me? He said, I just tell them the simple gospel. I just tell them Jesus loves them and that he's made promises to his people, and you can have eternal life. And people just coming up to receive the Lord. But these people had a need. They had a need. They were hungry. 150 people got food to bring home to their families. They come to church expecting God to do great things in their life and meet their needs because God has made promises to his people. Now, the struggle is real, man. I mean, life isn't always easy for people. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it isn't. The Bible says that the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. This world is a broken place. God is a safe refuge in a broken world. Just because you're a Christian and you love Jesus doesn't mean everything's going to go well for you. But God's promise is to take care of you. His promise is a refuge for your soul. Amen? Amen. Psalms 119:81 says this. I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. God doesn't promise a life without suffering, but he does promise to give you peace in the midst of it. These promises will not change because God is unchanging. God is unchanging. The world changes. People change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the God of today is all the same God. His promises doesn't change. They're there for you just like they were there for them back in the day. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. We hold on to hope, the anchor that securely connects us to the refuge, which is our Savior. Hope is our anchor that connects us to the Savior. That's what the Bible is saying in this passage. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Hope leads us to a place of refuge. It connects us to the Father. It connects us to Jesus. Psalms chapter 33, verse 22 says this. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. You have to stay close to the hose line. I'll tell you a little bit more about firefighting. So you got a house fire. It's got fire in it. The fire's reacting the same. You don't know what environment's in there, but you know it's contained in the box. That's the good part. You know where it's at. It's inside. So you take your hose line, you pull it off the fire engine, it's connected, it's full of water, you go into this place. Now, a lot of times it's really dark in there, it's smoky, it's hot, it can be disorienting. But you always stay oriented to the hose line. Why? Because it's your anchor. It's your anchor to safety. It's always going to lead out where you need to be. Now, maybe you're searching and you got your foot hooked on it like this, and you're searching out like that because it's always right there. Maybe you have the lieutenant sitting on the hose line. Maybe he's banging on the wall, and you go search the room, and he's letting you know, come back here. I'm right here on the safe place. You never lose it. If you get off that hose line, you can get lost very easily. And, you know, you could stand in your own house and say, man, this is super easy to get around. How hard is it? You just find a wall and you follow it and you get out. Well, do this. Go to your friend's house, close your eyes, do one spin around and see if you can find your way out the front door. It's harder than it sounds. Now, you may see a window and say, oh, that's my safe place. Leave your hose line and go towards the window, then find out it's a mirror, and now you're lost. It's really easy to get off the hose line. But what's even more interesting than that is, even if you are connected to the hose line, it's going in two directions. One way leads you to danger. The other leads you to safety. So how are you going to know which way this thing's going? You have to train and practice on it. You have to know it. You have to learn it and be familiar with it. Let me tell you something I learned 14 years ago. Smooth, bumpy, bumpy plug. Funny, right? That was 14 years ago I learned that. But let me tell you what that means. A fire hose has two ends connected to it. All the hose are connected together in many different sections. It's got two ends. One end, you just have the little spinny part with the bumps on it so you can tighten the hose. The other end has a smooth section of metal and then the spinny part where it's got the bumps on it, where they come together. Now, that way points out to the fire engine. So when you're on your hose and you come over to it, you feel a smooth part and then two sets of bumps. That points your way to the plug, which is the fire hydrant or the fire engine. So if you may know that hope is there, you may know that it connects you to the Savior, but if you don't understand it and you don't practice it, it's not going to lead you to that safe place. It's just going to be another lump of hose. Now that hose is heavy. It really doesn't go anywhere. Somebody can't kick it and get it lost. It's firmly attached to a giant red fire engine. It's heavy and full of water, and it's always going to go through that door. That will never change. So you need to understand how to find your way out, or you're going to get lost. And spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. You have to know where your hope comes from. And our hope is in God's promises. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now we see in verse 19, it says this, the anchor for our hope, it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Let me explain this to you. Now, in the Old Testament, you had the temple. Now the temple is where God lived, God lived in the building. Now God lives inside of you. Then God lived in the building. And so there's like, imagine this is like the sanctuary. Imagine up here is a big curtain, a big solid curtain. Now, no one gets to go into the curtain. That's the Holy of Holies. You go in there, you're going to get struck dead. You are not allowed to be in the presence of God himself. You can't be in the direct presence of God. So once a year, the high priest would be able to enter into there, and he would offer a sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. Only then, and he can. And every year he has to do it again and again. But you aren't allowed in there. Only he's allowed in there. The curtain keeps you separate from God. Now when we look at the new covenant, we see something different. Now under the new covenant, Jesus has become the sacrifice and atonement for our sins. He's paid the price once and for all. One sacrifice, now it's done. All your sins, our sins 2,000 years later, are still covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the high priest. He is, verse 20 says, he has gone in there before us. He's already there. He's already gone in and made the sacrifice for you. Now we can go through the curtain with him. Our anchor leads us through the curtain into where our hope lies, with God himself. You can now be in the presence of God himself because of what Jesus did on the cross with the new covenant, because his blood was shed. Our hope is anchored to Jesus Christ himself, who is in the curtain and is God himself. Do you understand that today? That's what it means. You can be led right into the curtain where God is himself. You don't have to wait outside anymore. He's a safe refuge for us. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, this hope is a strong anchor for your soul. It is. Trust it. Understand it. Know how to use it. Know where it goes. Know the Savior that it's connected to. It's the Holy Spirit. It's right there with you. But if you're not, then you're just lost in the fire, disoriented, separate from the hose line. You're just spinning in circles in danger. You've let it get around you. Now, in firefighting, you never let the fire get above you or below you or behind you. But if you're lost off the hose line, you have no way to keep that from happening. You have no anchor point to save you. But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that way. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. His death paid it all on the cross. I don't know if you've heard that before, but the Bible says that Jesus came to be the final sacrifice for sin. That the whole Old Testament system that we used to have could not save us. They did it for thousands of years. They would take innocent animals, like an innocent lamb, and they would sacrifice it and spill its blood on the mercy seat behind in the inner Holy of Holies. And that would provide forgiveness of sins for a short period of time. But God sent Jesus to live as a man and live a perfect sinless life and be that perfect sinless lamb to die for us. His blood on the cross was spread on the mercy seat so that we could be forgiven forever. All you need to do is repent and accept it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's as simple as that. But a gift has to be received. You know, our Christianity these days tends to be a one-sided Christianity. We love to talk about grace these days. You know why? Because it's easy for Americans. We're used to the whole world trying to serve us. Everything appeals to us. Everybody says, this is what you need. You're going to get it for free. No obligation on your part. But that's not how Christianity works. Grace is a free gift, but you have to accept it. The Bible says that you have to repent of your sins and turn away from that life and turn towards the Lord. Don't follow to the end into the fire. Turn away and follow it back out to safety in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. There's an obligation on your part. You have to be obedient to the Lord. It's there for you. It's a free gift, but you have to accept it. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. There's no better time and there's no better place. It's available for you today. Romans 15, 13. I'll end with this. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Well, first I want to talk, so just bow your heads. Then we'll pray. So you're in church today, and you've heard the gospel, you heard the word of God. I've seen this in foreign countries. I've seen this with people who have less. I've seen this with people who have come from completely different cultures. I've seen it in Cambodia where they have tons of gods that they know. And I say, this is the one and only God, and they want a piece of that. They want the Savior. And so this morning, even in all your affluence, even when the poorest of us are richer than the richest in other places, I want to assure you that you have nothing without Jesus Christ. Whatever you have is going to burn up in the fire. What you need is safe refuge through Jesus. So I would encourage you this morning, if you've never done that before, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never made that commitment and said, I want to be forgiven of my old ways and I want to live a new life for Christ, I want that safety, I want to follow that anchor point to the safe refuge for my soul. If you've never done that before and you want to do it this morning, there's no better time. This is the time. This is the place. Don't wait another day. Don't burn up another minute. Jesus Christ is waiting for you now. If this is the first time you've ever made that commitment and you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ today, I just want you to look up at me and raise your hand. Just give me a hand raised. Let me know that that's you. Praise God. Praise God. And anyone else, praise God. His glory is waiting for you today. His salvation is waiting for you today. Amen. Praise you. If you raise your hand, would you just please come up here and let somebody pray with you this morning? Praise God. Jesus still saves souls. Amen. Now, maybe you're in here and you heard this message and you forgot what it was all about. Maybe you heard this and you know Jesus, but you lost your way. You're disoriented. You're off the hose line. You need to get back where the safety is. Praise God. Jesus is meeting you here today. He's speaking right into your life this morning. He wants you back. Turn around. Follow it back out to that safe refuge this morning. Don't let this moment pass without following back to where you belong, believer. Amen? Okay, now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. God, this we would be nothing without you. You are eternally awesome, and we are eternally grateful, Lord God. I pray that we would never forget about your salvation, Lord God. I pray that we would never lose our way and get out into danger, Lord God. I pray in your holy name that the fire will never get around behind us, that we will always be connected to the anchor of hope that you bring us in you, Jesus Christ. We love you this morning. We praise you this morning. We give you all the glory this morning. In your holy name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Why don't you stand up with me, please? Now, you all might be shocked, but you just got like half an hour of your day back. Because Pastor Matt's a 45-minute guy. I'm not a 45-minute guy. I just say what needs to be said, and then I get it over with. So you're welcome on Seafair Sunday. Why don't you take the hand of the person next to you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you glory, we give you praise. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this blessed day, this day of salvation. In your holy name, Lord, amen. Amen. Go get your kids and go tell the teachers how excited you are for them. They're going to be so blessed. They're going to be shocked that you're down there. And then use this half hour to stick around and fellowship with people and get to know some people. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.